enjoying? I'm gonna be in the middle. I'm scared. I'm gonna be back here. You guys are my role model.
I'm gonna put this here for the.
You guys are my role model. Okay. So whatever you guys do, I do. I don't know. I mean, I'm just a little crawling baby.
Joel, do you have the handheld? Andrew, did you find the handheld?
Yeah, but the thing is, that's the thing, because will it pick up all of us?
It will, some. You know,
we can be fine here. We'll just have to have, because after we sing, Pastor is going to speak, correct? Okay, so that's okay, I think it'll work. So Danielle has time. Yeah, Danielle can, I have this. Which one is easier? You want this, the actual music, or flipping will be hard?
Oh, that's okay. I can flip.
Okay. Do you want to watch the piano, or do you want to switch spots? Or are you good right where you're at?
I kind of like it.
This way?
That's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. All right. She will.
Oh, I can't.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm. Silent night, holy night, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother child, holy infant so tender mild, sleep in heavenly
you up a little bit better. Since we're both singing soprano, I'll stand back just a teeny bit.
Okay, so that makes
right
it there.
But that way we can hear each other too. Okay.
All right,
that's good.
Okay.
Do you want to, can we just leave this up here? Okay.
I can't sing. So if I mess up words.
No. You should have it on your
phone. Mom, can we practice as a
No. Yeah, we don't have time. It's 5 minutes. Okay.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. I love what David said. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." There's such blessing in the house of the Lord because the blessed lives there, abides there with his people. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we have mentioned so many times, is not in the White House in a very tangible way. Yes, he resides there. He's everywhere. But in a very conscious way, Christ dwells amongst the candlesticks. And the candlesticks is his church, in whom he lights with the glory of his Son. And so we want to celebrate the birth of our Lord this Sunday morning. But before I do, I just have two quick announcements. Then we'll pray, and we have a whole service planned for you this morning of song, of scripture reading in the Christmas story, and just a few comments after the scripture reading. I'm not going to go into a whole expositional message. I'm just going to give you some devotional thoughts as to the Christmas story as we go through it. There is in your bulletin sort of a way you can follow along, if you would like to, of exactly what's going to happen throughout the service. So if you don't have a bulletin, feel free to go and grab one as we begin this morning. A couple announcements. That is, this Wednesday, there will be no Thrive or Good News Club. So just keep that in mind. We're going to take a week off from Thrive and Good News Club. There will be prayer meetings. Steve Nye is actually going to be leading the prayer meeting while I'm home with Susan and my family. And then Ben Selinsky is going to be preaching next Sunday morning. Ben Selinsky will be sharing the word December 31st. I'm getting him to start work a day early here at the church, trying to get every nickel we can out of him. Amen. So it'll be a wonderful time to hear what Ben wants to share, what's on his heart as he begins really his ministry here at Greenville Christian Fellowship in a formal way. Ben, looking forward, even via the live stream, to hear what God wants to speak through you. I want to begin our service in prayer. You know, we can't do anything without God. We can't even praise God without him. And so the Father is desiring certain people this morning. I wonder, are you one of those people who come with a heart that wants to worship in spirit and in truth? A heart that worships in spirit, worships in humility. A heart that worships in spirit, worships in faith. A heart that worships in spirit, worships in love. I trust that you will yield to the Lord Jesus Christ right now as we bow and pray and ask him to enable us to enter in afresh and anew unto the birth of his Son, and to see it in such a light that we leave like the shepherds, as we shall see at the end, glorifying God. They left glorifying God. That is my prayer for all of us this morning. Shall we pray? Father, we bless your holy name as we remember what Paul, your servant, described as the indescribable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we, in our poverty, might become rich in him. Father, we thank you as we consider all these songs and scripture passages. We thank you for the holy word of God. We thank you that everything is exactly told the way it exactly happened. And we thank you for the miraculous and wondrous workings that brought your Son into the world. Help us to see them through the eyes of faith, we pray. We commit the whole service to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
silent night, holy night, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother child, holy infant so tender mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 as we go through the Christmas story this morning. For time's sake, we will begin at the announcement of Jesus. We won't start there at John the Baptist. We went over that Wednesday evening, if you weren't here, and I'll make some comments as to that. But read with me Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It reads this way: "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." For Luke, the gospel story began before our scripture reading with the story of John the Baptist's arrival. Since John was the forerunner, spoken of by Malachi 400 years earlier, Luke wanted to show a clear transition when he included John the Baptist being foretold from the old economy of the way God did things to the new. In John the Baptist, you would see three important symbols of the old covenant if we were to read those scriptures of his coming into the world. You would see the priesthood, you would see the prophet, and you would see the temple in Jerusalem. For John's father was a priest, John the Baptist was the last great prophet, and the temple was where God's message was communicated regarding the giving of John the Baptist. But in these verses, the angel Gabriel announces another child now. 6 months after God's message about John, Gabriel has another announcement of a child. And for time's sake, I'm only going to mention two things that stuck out to me as I read this account afresh and anew this week. Number one, the humiliation of Jesus Christ. It is seen here in this announcement. And then the holiness of Jesus Christ. First, notice where this announcement came. John's announcement came in the temple in Jerusalem. The location of Jesus' announcement was not in Jerusalem. It was not the center of religious activity and life, but it came to Galilee, a particular region of Israel looked at with contempt and disdain. And even worse, a town called Nazareth, which when you read the Gospels, there was the saying that no good thing ever came from Nazareth. And yet this announcement of God's Son went to this particular region. You see, Nazareth was full of Gentiles and many working class Jews. And so it was looked at with such disdain. And we would think God would cause his son to be born in Jerusalem, the great metropolis and religious center of that day. Not only that, but Gabriel's message not only came to a particularly disdained and contempt area of the world of Israel, it didn't come to the temple, but listen and look where it went. It went to a lowly peasant's home, a home which God puts great honor upon here. You know, all of us are in homes, I assume. That is true. Maybe some of us aren't. But God, here in the announcement of his son to a very poor and impoverished person, puts great honor upon the family and the home. We notice the two people that were called to be Christ's parents, Joseph and Mary, and then we see even greater humiliation. We notice that Joseph was a righteous man when we read Matthew, and he was a carpenter. And then we find Christ's mother to be one called Mary. And notice the wonderful greeting God gave to her. He said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." You know, it was a greeting of how God viewed her in light of her character. And this statement, we are told, troubled her. She was unaware of the beauty through which God viewed her. You know why? Because Mary was humble. She was humble. Now, all of this relates to us from the very beginning, the importance God put on his own son's humiliation. He who was rich as God, lacking nothing, became for our sake, poor. And then we notice not only his humiliation, but we notice his holiness. We see the great condescension of God's Son in utter humiliation, but this was not someone that we would think would condescend to such a low place. Because Gabriel says something wonderful here. He says, "He shall be great." He shall be great, not in the world's view of greatness, but in God's view. And Christ is known by his own people as this today. This is why we all sit here today, because Christ is great. He is the great high priest. He is the prophet greater than Moses. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords, the Son of the Most High God, born of a virgin. And that's why he could be the Son of the Most High God, because it was the Holy Spirit who miraculously gave this one life within her. Born of the seed of Adam. He would have inherited a sinful nature, but God, being all wise, knew this would be the plan. Born of the Holy Spirit, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. And this one was given the name Jesus. Sometimes I think there's no sweeter name that it's ever been uttered out of anyone's lips. Just the sound of his name, to me, delights my heart. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He ushered in a new kingdom, and through his believing people, we are part of it. What an announcement. Let us sing to the God who came to be with us, as one of us to deliver us. Now we move to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. What is the result of such news, an announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ? We find it in these verses, beginning In verse 39, after Mary received such a word in faith, notice the result of her faith. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Here in our Christmas story, we move to two mothers. Isn't it quite amazing how motherhood fits into the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Elizabeth and Mary, two new mothers. Mary heard the news of the angels and the great announcement concerning herself, but she also heard of the great announcement concerning her relative Elizabeth, who was barren. And so she made her way down to Judea. It would have been quite a hike for Mary to go, but the excitement and the wonder and the joy of what God had announced to her, she wanted to share with someone else. Both were given a miraculous child, and Mary wanted to share in this joy. And at this point, as we read here, 6 months have passed since Elizabeth has become pregnant. And the baby is growing, probably getting larger and larger, when Mary walks into her home unannounced. Elizabeth would have been filled with surprise to see her. She would also not have known that Mary was pregnant. But as she sees Mary, a miraculous thing occurs. The baby leaps in her womb with joy. This son within Elizabeth signals to her something supernatural that caused her to understand something supernatural. He announced in some way in her spirit that Christ was within Mary at that very moment. Somehow the Holy Spirit communicated through this unborn child that Mary had within her womb that this was Elizabeth's Lord. It was her, you notice that, "My Lord, how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" You know, it's quite amazing that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. And even as his forerunner in his mother's womb, it says he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And even from his conception, he is telling the world and telling Elizabeth as the forerunner of Christ, not even born into this world, communicating, "Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miraculous thing this had to be. It certainly filled Elizabeth with joy, and she blesses Mary in believing what God said he would do for her. And let me just say a few things as we move to the next song about joy in Jesus coming into the world. Listen carefully, families and friends, as you share together in your Christmas celebrations. Notice this, that the joy of Jesus Christ coming into this world is a shared experience among believers. Without Mary's visit to Elizabeth, this experience of joy within Elizabeth, this experience of joy within this unborn child, this experience of joy in Mary's song would not have occurred unless she had shared in fellowship with fellow believers. That joy would have been missed. Do you know joy in the coming of Christ is cultivated in our fellowship with other believers? Do you want joy this Christmas season? I know I certainly do. The surest way to have joy is to seek God first, yes, but to seek God's friends right after. That is the surest way to joy as we celebrate Christ and his coming into the world. But also, notice how joy here is attached to the arts. Mary, as a result of the joy, makes a song that is quite famous. In fact, only Luke records the song of Mary, the Magnificat, which is called. He only records the song of Zacharias and the prophecy he makes. And he only records the poetry, in essence, of Simeon. It's quite amazing that Luke saw how Jesus coming into the world brought life to the arts, brought poetry and songs to new life. This morning we sing Christmas carols and hymns that came out of hearts filled with joy because of Christ coming into the world. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ and his coming into the world has reborn those arts which God created. It is a wonderful thing to look at what the joy of Christ brings to society, to culture. And certainly this is a perfect example of this very thing. But also, we see in this wonderful thought here what brought about this joy. Elizabeth noticed what it was that brought about. Look what she says in verse 44, "And blessed is she who believed." The blessing of joy comes from the expression of faith. Too many of us are seeking for joy outside of God, outside of trusting God, and we'll never find it. Here, Elizabeth recognized and understood that the reason God's blessing in this song poured out of Mary was because she was a woman of faith. She was a woman who believed the word spoken to her by that angel. Do you know the whole history of the Bible? Is that of what God did through faith in his people? You read the whole Old Testament, you read the whole New Testament. It's what God accomplished through faith. And I want to tell you, the greatest commodity any person could ever possess in this world is faith, because ultimately it brings about every blessing that God desires to give to humanity. Elizabeth saw it. Do you see it? The attachment of joy comes from faith. The attachment of joy is seen in song and in the arts and poetry that is reborn. The attachment of joy is through believers in whom you will encounter this season. Is it yours? Let us sing joy to the world.
Join me in standing, and if you'd like, you can turn to hymn number 104, Joy to the World. It'll also be displayed on the screen, but if you would, please join me in standing. We'll sing all four verses of Joy to the World. Chapter 2, we now move to the arrival of our Lord. Luke chapter 2 reads verse 1 like this. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him, and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Certainly all of us believers have read this story many times. The main thing that sticks out to me that I want you to see this morning is the funnel that I call it, the funnel of the text. It's a funnel of God's providence. God using the universal world, God using the national world, and then God using a personal family to accomplish His purposes and His will on this earth. You see, God had to use those things to accomplish His son being born in Bethlehem. as he had promised in the Old Testament. And when you study the history books, if you were to go back and look at the history, it seems that the census that begins chapter 2, verse 1, happened close to 4 years earlier than when this took place of Christ's birth. When you put the census up next to what people think the date of Christ's birth is, it seems that this census came 4 years earlier, which is quite amazing. That somehow God allowed Quirinius, this governor of Syria, and Herod, the king of Judea, when you go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 5, he allowed them to delay and delay and delay the census. Now, we know that Herod probably delayed the census in the Judean area because he was an Edomite. And Edomites knew Israel real well. They knew Jacob and Israel. They knew the Israelite nation. And they knew Israel hated taxation. See, you know, the reason that people were ordered to register with the census is so that the Roman government could tax them. And here we find that 4 years, it seems earlier, Octavius, who was the Caesar at that time, said everyone must register. But it seems that Herod just delayed it. I don't want to have to deal with the Jews about this matter. I know that's just supposition. But when you consider the fact that a 14 or 15-year-old girl, 9 months pregnant, with a 16 or 17-year-old boy, makes its way 9 months pregnant down, and really it's an elevation, though it goes south from Nazareth down into Judea, but it would have been the cold winter of season, traveling 90 miles, 9 months pregnant, probably on some donkey or mule. You have to believe that Octavius Caesar finally told Herod, get it done now. Now here's the thing. It was all in the providence of God. This was needed, this census being taken at this time, in order to get Joseph, who was of the city of David, which was Bethlehem. It was needed to be ordered at that moment in order for God to orchestrate that family getting down to Bethlehem so that his son could be born. It's an amazing thing when you study the history of this. All God did to fulfill his word. Do you know God will move heaven and earth to fulfill his word? He had prophesied that his son would be born in Bethlehem. So he used the universal world. He used the national world. And he used this poor little family. And he moved them by all the providence of God into a place where his word could be fulfilled. What a big God he is this morning. I trust you will consider that this Christmas season. The great wisdom and might of God in bringing his son into the world. But then we notice not only the providence of this, but the personal effect this had on two teenagers' lives. This happened to people here, real people, who had to move in a very difficult season of their life. And as they get to the end where they are, I'm sure, thinking they are going to stay, there's no room, it says, in the end. And yet God providentially allowed all of that. You say, why would God allow that? Now, it seems that in those days, the inn would be on the second floor. And then underneath on the first floor is where they kept all the animals and people who would have horses and things of that nature. All sorts of animals underneath
And they arrive, they don't have any place to go. Mary goes into labor, and we notice something about there's no room in the inn. That phrase really stuck me. It's a picture of the corruption of mankind. Why wouldn't they allow this 15-year-old girl? Why wouldn't somebody say, I'm giving up my room? I'm getting up my room. This is a serious situation, but it pictures how Christ was rejected. Received, not even by his own. And we notice that here is two homeless teenagers, cold and miserable, looking for shelter. And we find that they were helpless, all left alone. No doctors, no family, no one, just a 16-year-old boy talking probably a 14-year-old girl how to have a baby. No one lent them a hand, yet God had ordered it all. That's mind-boggling. You say, why did God order it all this way? I don't have all the answers to it. There's many reasons. Only God knows the mind of God. But I'll tell you one reason I believe God ordered it this way. It's so that Jesus could identify with the lowest of men, the most impoverished of men, so that he could say, I understand and sympathize with those who are of the meanest and lowest and most commonest way of life. Christ didn't come just for the rich and the famous. He came for sinners. He came for low men, common men, like you and me. And the fact that God, in all of his wisdom, said he must be born into this filth, laid in a manger, the God of purity brought into filth, at the lowest of means, communicates to us how much God loved humanity to be able to identify with every one of us. That God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to the lowest part for you and me. Isn't that wonderful? That is a reason to have a Merry Christmas.
standing. Let's turn to 117. 117, the lyrics will also be on the screen. O little town of Bethlehem.
We finish our Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. This birth, as we just heard, happened in such silence. And yet, heaven needed to make an announcement about it. Reading in verse 8. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back and glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. After the birth of Christ took place in such adverse and humble circumstances, we expect to hear nothing more in the darkness and silence of such an evening, but heaven would have none of it. Its darling was being born for men as a man, and the angels must announce that the everlasting Father, the Ancient of Days, had stepped into time and space. And so we notice this announcement by angels, and we would think it would have come to the great pomp and spectacle and splendor of kings and rulers, but here it was privately told by angels to what were lowly shepherds. In fact, shepherds were quite despised in that culture. What a picture of how Christ came to announce himself again to the most common of men and give them the privilege first of knowing him. And this is Christ the Lord. This is where he is. Go and find him. It is a picture of God's heart to get the gospel to all men, even those of the lowest and meanest degree. Because God, has chosen the poor things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to shame the strong. But also notice the activity of heaven that took place in light of our Lord's birth. This angelic being sought to bring a great announcement of who it was being born to the shepherds. An announcement of great joy, it says, was communicated. I trust you'll see throughout this whole gospel narrative, as you read it with your families or you think about it in your devotional life, the continuous anthem of joy. Joy. Peace, joy, peace, because that is the blessing of Christ in his entrance and knowledge in a dark, restless, and joyless world. But it's an announcement of great joy that was communicated in a threefold name. It seems that the angel wanted to really impress upon the shepherds who it was that had been born to them. It calls him a Savior, it calls him a Christ, and it calls him a Lord, the Lord. All three terms implying what this one came to do for humanity, and that's why these angelic hosts break out with, a cry of angelic joy. As they tell them who it is that is coming to the world, all these hosts of heaven, I wonder what that sight must have been like as heaven in a sense opened up and all the angelic hosts came down to this one moment and they all made this incredible cry, glory to God in the highest. Now think of what they're saying here. Christ's birth on earth caused the angels to pronounce to heaven. This is what the angels are doing. They are pronouncing to the heavens, glory. You up there who've only known a God who's holy, who've only known a God who's powerful, who's only known a God who is righteous and has all authority, you now give glory. They had seen God in a light they had never seen him before. One who would stoop to such low level in love for humanity. And the angels say, glory to God in the highest. They can't help but direct their praise to heaven and calling them to praise such a magnificent event. And why? Why to glory? Because it says it right there. He came to bring peace. He came to bring peace to men. You know, these angels who said such an amazing thing had witnessed on the earth for thousands of years the strife, the rebellion, the discord, the disturbances of man. That's why they were so glorifying God. They had seen the foolishness of sin. They had witnessed it as they looked down. And they came to realize God is so great because he's going to do something that which they need. They need peace. They need peace with God. And Jesus Christ came into this world to give peace to men with God, a holy God, and wicked sinners made peace through the blood of Christ's cross is how peace was made. And then because peace was made with God, peace could be made man to man. Men could exercise the same forgiveness that God had exercised toward them. And man could know peace in his circumstances. Man is one fearful creature without God. He lives in abject fear, fear of death, fear of judgment, fear of damnation, fear of hell, fear of what people think all around him. Christ came, the angels knew it, to bring men peace. Peace into every circumstance, so that the peace of Christ could rule in their heart. All because of one thing, he says here, because what? Your version might say because of the good will of God. The good will of God. Because somehow God is pleased to give his best to people who hate him. That's mind-boggling to me. God is so good, and he has such a good will for every human being's life on this planet. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And his good will was to give his greatest gift, his own son, to bring peace to men. And that's why it says in John 3:17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And here's the goodwill of God expressed in the gift of his Son. And he proclaimed this message to the shepherds. This was the announcement. Give glory to God in the highest. He's brought peace to men because God has a good will for humanity, despite humanity's hatred of him. What a statement. What a message. As you go and leave, as we sing two more songs, I trust you will go away like the shepherds go away and say, truly, he is wonderful. Truly, he is worthy. Truly, God is to get the glory in the highest for what he's done for you and me. I trust you see this Christmas season. You behold him as I have afresh and anew. The wonder of Jesus Christ. the miracle of Jesus Christ and the love of the Father in giving him to us. Well, let's finish our service giving him praise.
If you would join me and turn to 106, if you'd like to, in the hymnal. It'll also be on the screen, 106, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll sing all three verses. Jackson's up to close this out.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us. happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing,
oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Oh, Christ the Lord.
I trust you're Christmas Eve and your Christmas celebrations will remember our beloved Savior. Truly, He is wonderful. Thank you for all being here. I will close us in prayer. Let's just give Him the glory. Let's give Him the glory. Oh, Father, I'm reminded of your word, there is none righteous. No, not one. All have turned aside. All have gone their own way. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. But the Lord, you, dear Father, have laid the iniquity of us all upon Him, your Son, that through His chastisement we might have peace. We thank you for the gift of your Son and His birth. We thank you He came to live in order to die. We thank you, though He is alive, and He, as they waited for the first advent, we wait for the second. And we pray He would come, Lord Jesus, come soon. We pray that You would get the glory out of every life this Christmas season that You deserve. We know it will not happen as we have prayed, but we know that You can do the miraculous, the supernatural in all our families, in all our interactions, and all the lost people we will encounter. We pray that the life of your Son would radiate from us, that people would see Christ and hear Christ from us. We bless your holy name. We give you the glory for this wondrous gift. And we praise and thank you for what you're going to do in this church family, in the greater Greenville area, in this world, as you continue to convey the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gospel, good news, and great joy it is. We bless you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
No, I actually do.